The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Here we go. We are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. In the first portion of our program, we dedicated it to previewing the Dallas Mavericks. Their season is just around the corner. Well, now it's time to shift avenues, and it's time to buckle up because it is week four of college football. Our good friend Jason Peter is with us with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. And Jason, here we are. We are 1 week away from your big celebrity golf tournament. I know you're getting so excited, and the family too.
I really am, and just now in the third year, we're completely sold out. We've had to turn people away, and, you know, that's an exciting thing, because when we first started off 3 years ago, I think we had maybe 18 foursomes committed to play, and obviously you've been coming up now, and you know, you probably can talk more about it. I love what we're able to do, but it's kind of like a player talking about himself. You kind of feel uncomfortable doing it. I feel like it's one of the best charity golf events in the state, and I'm proud that we're able to have such growth over in such a short period of time.
Well, Jason, it really is. It's first class from start to finish, and I know that it is something that our family, we always look forward to coming to, and I will share, little Steven, he's been working extra hard on his golf game because he wants to impress you.
Well, he has the attention of everybody who's a repeat player in this tournament. They all leave talking about the kid. He's the kid. He's just known as the kid who all he does is he throws darts out there on the golf course, and at first, I think people, maybe a few players prior to going out on the course, they're like, oh, what, you're sticking me with a kid? But then afterwards, they're like, I want that kid next year. So there's a lot of former athletes up here that are begging for his services.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, Jason, let's get back on topic and on subject. And it looks like Nebraska, that they were able to get a bounce back last week. I know, you know, pretty easy competition in Arkansas State, but this weekend up next will be Idaho State. But I think the biggest headline, give us an update on your head coach Bo Pelini, because at halftime he went to the hospital.
Yeah, he says everything's fine. It was kind of it spread throughout the stadium like wildfire that Bo wasn't on the sidelines, and obviously now with Twitter and everything else, people can kind of get a good grasp as to what's going on. And he just said that he didn't feel that good waking up, and he was having stomach issues, and I guess then he said sometime in the first half he just kind of felt disoriented down there on the sidelines. They were checking his pulse, and you could tell in the halftime interview he did with the sideline reporter that he was acting a little odd when he first got together with the reporter, just kind of real skittish and looking around and not really being able to focus. But they got him back into the locker room, and the doctors looked him over, and just as a precautionary measure, they decided that they wanted to take him to the hospital to run more tests. But he claims that he has a clean bill of health, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with him.
Well, for Husker fans, that is good news. Their head coach will be back and ready to go. And let me ask you, this past week during practice, have they addressed the defensive issues that were real concerns, you know, you think 2 weeks ago against UCLA?
Yeah, well, it didn't get any easier this past week. One of the JUCO transfers that they have, Zaire Anderson, who's a linebacker, and he's kind of built in the mold as another former JUCO player that they had at linebacker, Levante David, who's now a starting linebacker for the Tampa Bay Bucks. This kid, had a MRI done midway through the week, and turned out that he has a torn ACL that he's been playing on for the past week or two. So they lose him for the season, and he was kind of a, you know, you can't really count too much that it's a loss just because he didn't get a lot of time to show what he can do. He was just finally starting to figure into the rotation, but he gave Nebraska fans kind of this feeling of hope that we would have more speed on the field on the defensive side, because that's kind of been the big issue in the first couple games, was just a lack of team speed out there, and we just looked slow and rallying to the football, and you know, it all I think came together out at UCLA in that bad loss out there, and the tackling was bad, but they've been trying to do some things to get more speed on the field. They've kind of went to a defense that I'm familiar with just from the days of playing under George Seifert, where you kind of have three down linemen and then they take a linebacker. He's kind of called the elephant end, and you can put him down on a line of scrimmage or you can stand him up, and he's just a guy that you know, can kind of give you a speed rush on third down, but you know, if he needs to drop and cover some people, he can, and that seemed to work for Nebraska. It's also hard to tell exactly how much it helped just because of the level of competition in Arkansas State, but you know, they're not going to get a better test this week either, and even looking ahead, you know, I don't know if you'll get a real test from Wisconsin too, because that program's in shambles as well.
We are talking Big Ten football this weekend on the Big E Sports Show with Jason Peter. You can join us online at eradiosports.com. And also, we want to take time to encourage you to go to Jason's website. He has some great stuff on there at jasonpeter.com. And you can also listen to him on the web at 1620 The Zone with his host, Gary Sharp. And what is the update as far as with the star tailback, Rex Burkhead, following his MCL sprain in the opener?
He's going to play this week, and you know, we'll kind of see how much he plays. I don't think they're going to ask him to do the brunt of the work, and they're fortunate in the fact that tailback's probably one of the stronger positions on this team. Amir Abdullah, who's a young guy, has stepped in for Rex and really done a tremendous job. He's really an exciting player to watch, and you know, people think he's kind of a bit undersized, but this kid, I don't think he's got an ounce of fat on him, and he'll run in between the tackles, and he can run outside, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield. He put the ball on the ground a couple times in the beginning of the year, which, you know, it's always a cause for concern, as TCU fans know that down there this past week with Kansas. But I think he's done a good job, and he's earned himself some carries for even when Rex comes back. And I think that's a coach that that's a problem that every coach would like to have. You know, having talented guys back there and having to just figure out how you're going to get some of these guys their touches throughout the course of a game.
Well, you referenced Virginia and TCU. That is a big game this weekend right here in Fort Worth, and hopefully here in just a moment we'll get a chance to hit on that. But right now, since we are in the Big Ten Conference, let's move over. Let's talk about Michigan State, of course, and you know, they're going to face Eastern Michigan, but they're looking to get that bounce back win too after that, you know, disappointing 23 loss to Notre Dame.
Yeah, they were kind of the flag bearer of the Big Ten. It hasn't been the best year for the Big Ten. I think when you look at the overall record of Big Ten schools versus other BCS schools, they actually have the worst winning percentage out of anybody, worse than the Big East. And I've never been a big fan of the Big East Conference. It's just, to me, it's kind of big flow football. I've been concerned that Nebraska going to the Big East, that we would try to model or build a team built for that conference, and I think that's kind of the last thing you want to do at a program where the goal should be to win championships. You know, even if you run the Big Ten, then what happens when you have to go play an SEC type of school? You don't have enough speed on the field. But Michigan State was kind of the one school that people were kind of, I guess, keeping the faith with, that maybe they could be the flag bearer of this Big Ten conference and show people that the conference isn't as bad as advertised, but they got beat up by a Notre Dame team that I don't think a lot of people are still convinced, you know, that Brian Kelly has completely changed the culture out there and turned that program around. But they just, they dominated Michigan State. I don't even know if Michigan State got in Notre Dame's red zone the entire game. It was just it was Notre Dame's day, and it just added to the problems that the Big Ten Conference has. It's not a good thing when Northwestern is probably the school that people now are talking about in the Big Ten, but they're 3-0, and they're the only school that have. They've played all BCS opponents, and you got to tip your cap to Pat Fitzgerald and the job that they've done, because right now they haven't been beaten.
Yes, and when you look at Nebraska's schedule, of course, in the month of October, you guys will be on the road at Northwestern, and as you had just said, you know, Northwestern has had a pretty tough schedule early on. I mean, facing three BCS opponents, so that should be, you know, as we look ahead, that should be a really nice matchup between these two schools.
Yeah, I mean, sticking with Northwestern, I mean, they started the season off, they went to Syracuse and won, then they got Vanderbilt, which after opening weekend, that Thursday night game that they played South Carolina, I think people thought that maybe Vandy has got something going on, and I don't know if it was just kind of the SEC hype or whatever, but then, you know, they won that game, and then they beat Boston College, so... I think in this day and age of football, especially when you talk about non-conference games, I think you see a lot of schools, Nebraska especially being one of them, you know, who's playing an FCS opponent this weekend in Idaho State. I think with Northwestern playing those BCS schools right off the bat, I think you got to give them credit for that. But, you know, we'll see. It's a long season. We're only a quarter of the way through. So right now they're at the top of the conference, but who knows what can happen by the end.
Okay, a lot of folks in the Big 12 Conference, as we move over there, is K-State at Oklahoma. They will be in Norman. What do you think about this particular matchup, and what do we know about Oklahoma at this point? I know they had a bye last week, but they struggled against UTEP. I'm not convinced yet that they're, what, the sixth-ranked team in the country?
Yeah, well, I think you join a large group of people that aren't sure about what Bob Stoops has in Norman this year. Obviously, a lot of the preseason rankings are based upon tradition and what you've done in the past. And in Oklahoma right now, you know, when you look over the last 10 years, they've done a good job. But this year is this year, and like you said, they struggled with UTEP, and then Florida A&M is you know, it's not a big BCS school. And I think just looking at Oklahoma specifically, I think the problems that they've had over the last few years have been with that offensive line. And Bob Stoops is, you know, he's called them out in past years. And I think that's a big question this year, if they're going to be able to give Landry Jones enough time to get to his receivers and keep him upright. If there's breakdowns in protection and you're not able to run the ball, I think you could look at this Oklahoma team as a team that possibly has 2-3 losses by the season's end. I expect them to beat Kansas State. I think the job Bill Snyder has done is it's another miracle in Little Manhattan, but I just don't think they're going to have enough in Norman. I think Oklahoma will do enough to shut down the running game and do enough to create problems for Colin Klein, and they're going to force him to throw the football. If Oklahoma loses this game, it's going to be because Colin Klein throws for 300-plus yards, and Oklahoma just didn't have an answer for it.
Well, Mike Stoops got to have those guys ready to go defensively and bring their A game. But, you know, Landry Jones, have you guys had a conversation about this on your show as far as, you know, what kind of quarterback is he? Is he good? Is he great? I mean, is he a Sam Bradford type, a Josh Heupel? I mean, what's your assessment, Jay?
Yeah, I think the Oklahoma fans are reluctant to put him in that category of the Jason Whites and the Sam Bradfords just because he doesn't have a championship. And, you know, is that a fair assessment? I guess so. You know, it, when you talk about college sports or college football or the NFL, I think that's a big part of how a guy is finally remembered, and especially when you talk about the quarterback. And he doesn't have one yet. So, you know, maybe things change by season's end. But at this point, I think people are fair in not putting him in that elite Oklahoma status. Is he a heck of a quarterback? Will he probably be a first-round draft pick? Probably. He probably will, just from his physical skill set and the way that he can kind of spin a ball around the field down there. I mean, you know, somebody will want him to be their quarterback on an NFL roster, but he's got to win the big one, I think, in order to be mentioned in that group, and he's got to work on some consistency. I think there have been some issues in the past, but that's also, I think, you know, you connect the dots with the quarterback success and then the overall team success and the offense success, and I think that's usually where the inconsistencies lie is having that offense go out and execute at a high level week in and week out.
We're getting ready to wrap it up this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. We've hit on the Big Ten Conference, the Big 12, and we can't forget, we got to talk about this Virginia TCU. Give a little bit of a preview. I mean, Saturday morning at 11 o'clock kickoff, and TCU's ranked 17th in the country right now, and their first season so far in the Big 12 Conference, it has been successful. Gary Patterson, he's got his guys ready to go.
Yeah, and a lot of people were you know, TCU, now they're moving into a big-time conference. How are they going to do? And I know the Kansas game was probably a little too close for some of the TCU faithful down there, but you ultimately in your first Big 12 game, you get a win, and it's something to build on. And I'm sure Gary Patterson wasn't thrilled with the amount of turnovers, but it's a victory, and you move on, and now you get another opportunity in Virginia to go out and prove yourself. And it's a week away from the Big 12, but you know, those games will come down the road. I think Gary Patterson's one of the premier coaches in college football, and I think TCU fans should be thrilled that this guy is still there with the amount of offers that he's had over the years. He must like it down there, and I don't know if he's even interested in going anywhere else, although I'm sure the offers will continue to come in. But, you know, just hearing him talk about, you know, an early kickoff and how he just prepares for everything over the course of a preseason, spring football, you name it. I know that all of the scrimmages that they have in the offseason or the preseason, he holds them at 10:30 in the morning just in case he gets a 11 o'clock kick. And in this case, you know, this is the time when those early scrimmages will pay off because they have an early kick against Virginia. And hopefully, I'm sure he's hoping that they'll go out and execute at a high level and not turn that ball over, because you just can't give offenses any more extra opportunities than what they already have coming with turnovers. So you go out, you play your game, you take care of your business, and I'm sure TCU will come out victorious.
Well, it'll be a fun game to watch, and Jason, we certainly appreciate you dropping by, and I look forward to catching up with you next week in Lincoln, Nebraska. You have a great week, Jay.
You too. Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead. Join us online at eradiosports.com. We will be right back.